Namaste and welcome. It's good to see everyone here. For those who have not met yet, this is Ismet, and he is from New York. He will be our newest sadhaka. So today, sometime, is Diksha Day. We haven't done it as yet, but it's coming up. And so if you'd like to introduce yourself with your Diksha names, this is Swami Naranjananda, yes? Yash. Lena hasn't taken Diksha yet. One holdout. Okay. And without further ado, we will dig into the satsang bowl. I got the book here. It says, it's got a few questions, so... I usually wake up in a fearful dream, or I become aware that I am dreaming. Then often dream becomes like I'm in deep water, which I fear most. Then I try to move my body, but I cannot yet. I experience intense energy moving inside my body sometimes. Energy is very violent. I feel like it will take me somewhere, and I fear a lot and do my best to stop it. I keep the lights on. What is it? Should I allow it, or as I always do my best to stop it? Well, a lot of times, you know, in this process, you're going to have this fear of death come up or feel like you're being swallowed up, you know. But that's part of the process. That's what happens as ego starts to dissolve. We have a lot of these types of dreams. Okay. But it's encouraging that you're having the energy already. It means that you're, you know, in the process of beginning to awaken. So what happens when this takes place? Just try to surrender into it. Because eventually you will have to, we will face this death experience and we'll come out the other side, okay? So it's nothing to fear. It's nothing to fear, you know. But this comes up for everyone in some way, shape, or form. They'll start having these feelings of impermanence and that you're being swallowed up. This is what happens, you know, you're swallowed up in that great ocean and the ego dissolves in it. Okay. So maybe if you can give him the thing.
Maybe that's a signal that ego is dissolving.
Well, it's starting, yeah. It's starting to, you know, you're starting to waking up and wanting to know this path. And this path is about coming to that point where we dissolve in that ocean of consciousness, where the ego loses its, you know, distinction in that ocean of consciousness. So we'll get a lot of different things, variations on this. As you go through the path, you'll get a lot of very symbolic types of dreams where the body is represented by a vehicle, or you'll have, you know, very solid structures begin to break apart. And all of it has to do with your consciousness and where you are in your journey and where you're seeking. But it means, you know, yeah, that you are... You know, sometimes you feel overwhelmed, you know, by things and overwhelmed by the energy. And, you know, this is why it's good to have the foundation in place so you understand what it is, and it's not something to fear, but we need to let go and surrender in it so we don't bring up so much of the fear mode around it.
Okay.
Okay. Do did you have something?
I used to have those dreams all the time. I still have them. And I actually did some research in the ocean. Usually in Freudian psychology, there's a psychologist over here, right? Freudian psychology usually says the ocean represents unconsciousness. So drowning in the ocean is losing your ego.
Waking up.
Yeah.
Awakening.
And I get dreams where entities are trying to possess me. So that's that kundalini trying to take over, and I'm always trying to fight this possession. So I've been trying to let it happen. It scares the crap out of me. I mean, it's pretty terrifying. But that's just... Oh, yeah, it's really terrifying.
So this is why you go back and you continue to come and you continue to get the work done and you continue to go back to the mantras and you have a centering place to come back to rather than getting locked into that mind and then letting the mind run away with you. So this is how people go into the psychosis state because they don't have a grounding point. You know, they don't have a guru, they don't have a practice to come back to center themselves. So they start chasing the mind. Okay, and then they get into this mode, oh, it's aliens or something trying to possess me or something, and you go off on a real bender.
Yeah, I've gotten a little bit more, I've done some lucid dreaming where I've gotten some control, and I have let myself be possessed a few times. So I think, you know, in a dream, and I'm making some progress.
And then what happened?
I woke up. I didn't actually go through the whole thing, but I woke up. But I at least let it do its thing, so you know.
We need the mic so that people are here.
Whatever you think that time, and you become that. If you fear, you become in that fearful situation.
Yeah, then it just grows. It just grows. This is why it takes having a good foundation and understanding what's going on, so you know that there is nothing to fear. This is part of the process. It's part of what happens in the process, okay?
I need to convince myself.
It'll get better as you go. And when you take diksha and then you start doing the mantras, it will help you to move through and you'll have something to come back to, you know. And just when that happens as well, If you're awake, alert enough, just do the balanced breath. Come back to the breath and one moment at a time and bring yourself back to now, you know.
Okay.
And say, you know, just tell yourself, yeah, this is transient, this is passing, okay. And this moment I'm safe and I'm fine, okay.
All right.
Yeah. Because physically, everything, you're fine. It's that mental stuff that's going on. So you just keep bringing yourself back to now and say, in this moment, I'm fine. I'm fine. And you let it, you know, you let it go. Okay? What about if I have some goals? I live in the material world and I have to have goals. How can I synchronize my goals with my spiritual path? Yes, it's a good question, you know. So when we're going through this path, one of the things we talk about here is karma yoga, which is doing seva, doing service. So whatever you do in your life with your goals, whatever, make sure that it comes out of being with integrity and honesty and transparency and not doing it for the paycheck, you know, for the payoff of the money, but do it from the heart. So whatever you're doing, you do it in an attitude of service or seva, whether it's to guru, whether it's to God, whether it's to humanity, you know, whether it's to the inner self. Okay? But do it with that attitude.
I understand.
You know, doesn't mean that you can't have some sort of a goal. But just recognize you may have a goal, but the universe might have something else better. Okay? If your goal is not, you know, for the best for your path, that might be waylaid and something else brought into So, you know, just have a, you can have a goal, but be surrendered. Be surrendered to what comes or what doesn't come. Don't be attached to it. Okay? Don't be don't be attached to, I've got to make this goal, you know? Yeah. Yeah, we have vairagya, or vairagya means non-attachment. It means, yeah, if it happens, great. If it doesn't, okay. You know, maybe there's something better, something more productive for my spiritual life than this temporary goal.
Okay.
Can zero-point energy healing dissolve conditioned mind patterns? It can help. It can help to begin to release mind patterns and cellular memory. It can help to, for some people, everyone is different, you know, that comes and has the zero-point balance, the energy work done. For some, it begins to release cellular memory. For some, it takes them into a meditation state immediately. And each time we work, it goes a little deeper and a little deeper and a little deeper, especially if you are coming and you're getting it done quite often. Okay, so you don't have a chance for this, whatever it is that's being worked on, to replant itself. Okay?
Okay.
So, yeah, it can. It can help along. If you're coming and getting the energy work done along with doing the mantras, can be very effective to help you move you much quicker through the path. Like Purna, one of the things that she used to do, the Vipassana, and it would take her days and days and days of sitting in Vipassana to get to one issue, and she goes through the zero-point balance, and it's just immediate. It's real quick. So, yeah, it's much more rapid than sitting doing different types of meditation practices. It works much more effectively, much, much more quickly.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I hope these were all in there. They're jumping out of the bowl. I went to a healing touch workshop 2 weeks ago and have been very depressed since then. Is this a good thing? Does this mean I'm getting in touch with something, or does it mean I'm picking up the practitioner student's depression? When you got 0 point balance here, why are you going to healing touch modalities, you know? Oh, it's for your job? Okay. It could be either you're reaching something, it could be also that you are picking up something. So my suggestion is come and get some energy work done, and let's figure out what's going on. Yeah. Yeah. If you're sensitive, you know, you can pick up sometimes other people's things as well. And so that's not always a good thing. So this is another reason why, you know, in this tradition, when we're doing the 0 point balance, you're not doing, you're not putting some mindset behind it. You're not, you know, like some other practitioners are, you have to go into this in a meditation state when the mind stills. And there are practices here that are given when you take diksha, an energy practice, and you've done the balanced breath so far, okay? So you do the energy practice and you do the balanced breath and you go into a meditation, and when the mind stills, then you're ready to do the 0 point balance. Okay, so then you're not influencing other people with your whatever mental stuff is out there. Okay, so just come over and we'll do some energy sessions on you. Okay, you're welcome. Is Kundalini an energy itself, or is it more of a form of consciousness that results in having energy or energy flow as a byproduct? Well, they say that Kundalini is an energy, but it is conscious in nature. Okay, so it's a little of both. It's a little of both. It knows what to do. It knows where to go, what pathways to connect, and when, what needs to take place. This is why not everyone has the same types of kriyas or the same types of things. Okay? But Kundalini knows the way that it needs to go, how it needs to travel through the system and through the consciousness. Okay? So it is a consciousness that's moving, but it, when it's moving, it translates out as an energy. Okay. Can we have the mic over here?
Oh, well, I just want to bring up, we were watching the Discovery Channel, was it Wednesday night? And it was really funny, there was this show about this people that got, their boat sank and they were in a life raft for like 5 days. And people were just dying. They were drinking salt water and dying.
All right.
Anyway, there was this one woman who freaked out in the boat. And right before she died, she crashed in the corner of the boat. And the other two people were watching her. And they were saying, yeah, she was doing like these hand things, Spanish dancing. And then she started speaking in tongues. And they didn't know what it was. But it was really funny to see that on TV and know
right.
what it really was.
Right,
and
right.
I was like, wow. So this person, right before they died, Kundalini must have just broken through and said, look, you know, you're going to die. Let's take care of some last-minute stuff before you go. And then when they woke up the next morning, she was dead.
Yeah.
But that person had never had any Kundalini or any – she's just a normal person. But because of being in the boat for like 4 or 5 days, going mm-hmm. delirious from her husband just got eaten by a shark. So pretty traumatic event.
Well, yeah, those traumatic things
yeah.
can awaken that. It
yeah.
can awaken that. And at that point, she's probably, that energy is just going and she's getting ready to process to leave the body.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so, yeah, I saw that.
I saw that.
Yeah, she started doing these kriyas, these mudras,
yeah,
hand mudras and
yeah.
things, and was talking in glossalia and
yeah.
in a, you know.
Which is something I do
so,
a lot, and I'm just like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of very powerful thing if you think about what Kundalini is, the fact that this person almost was dying and going through it. So it's a death process, and it's just, I don't know.
Well, that's what I say. You know, if you read, like, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, it's kind of a blueprint map for what happens in a Kundalini journey, and you get to do it now while you're alive and conscious rather than when you've passed beyond the body and then you don't have a way to work through it. But now you have the opportunity to go through it beforehand. So you don't have to do it. So when the physical form passes away, then there's just direct consciousness. You've already done most of the work.
I just thought it was pretty fascinating to see that on TV and see how the people were reacting to it. They were like, oh, wow, you don't know what that was. But
she's delirious, yeah. She's gone out of her mind. So, yeah, at that point, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's the same. You know, when I read the first time I read the Tibetan Book of the Dead, it was like, yeah, okay, this is like all the shifts that take place through the journey, through the fear mode, and you have to confront, you know, the hungry ghosts and the, you know, the ones that are the greedy ones and the, you know, all that other stuff that you have to bypass. So it's kind of interesting when you read it in light of this journey and really what takes place. So do it now. You know, don't wait till you're passing over and have somebody reading it, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and hope you're still hanging around to hear it, you know. Much, much better to do it while you're conscious here. How does one consciously let go of negative repressed feelings, either in the past or present? How does one keep from holding this in? Well, by first recognize what it is and keep bringing yourself back to the moment. What's past is past, and it's not going to change anything. And what if, of the future is not going to help. You know, what if this and what if that? The only place you can really live is in the present, is now. Okay? So these negativities and these things that come up, you know, just recognize it for what it is. Just recognize it for what it is and don't let it run, you know, run your life. Because it's not doing you, you know, look at it and see, it's really not doing anything of benefit for yourself or for anyone else. And we may have negative things, you know, we're holding against someone else or whatever, but who is it hurting? Yeah. We're eating ourselves up with it. And for what? It's not solving. It's not making anything better. You know? So be willing to let go of these negativities. Because all these negatives, they're only things of mind. You know, attachments, aversions to old events, aversions to happenings, non-acceptance of what was. You know, and yeah, we can all go through some pretty hurtful things that we wish wouldn't happen. But as long as we want to, you know, reject it and have an aversion, or we just keep ourselves in that same cycle. It's enough to go through that event once. Why to keep replaying it? What's so attractive in it? Huh? There's nothing attractive in the negative things. So be willing to let go of them. Because it doesn't matter how much we think about it, it's not going to change what was in the past. Or negative things that we have now. It's not the one that's most hurt by it is ourselves. You know? Sometimes we can be in situations and we're encountering someone that's also very negative in nature. But we don't need to pick up someone else's garbage. You know, we don't need to carry it. Neither do we want to keep the garbage around because it stinks, you know. You keep this stuff after a while and it's really stinking. And my suggestion is take it out in the trash and let it be carted away. Huh? So what's when these types of things happen, just the first step to get beyond it is to recognize it for what it is. Okay. And then recognize that it's really not helping us in any way, shape, or form. That when we latch on to these and we keep thinking about it, it keeps building. We keep giving it more life. And it keeps growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until we have room for nothing else. It starts to consume us. Better to look for the light. Much easier to carry. Yes.
That wasn't my question, but I have a follow-up question. Mm-hmm. I don't have attachment to past negative events, but I seem to have an attachment to past positive events, mm-hmm. especially when I get depressed. Mm-hmm. There is a tendency to go back to past what it was and why it isn't anymore. Mm-hmm. Is that equally useless?
Yeah. Yeah. It's equally useless because it's covering over and it's attempting to run away from what is here to mask it, you know. I mean, even the greatest pain or whatever it is, if we can really dive into it, the other side, we find that there's a stillness there. Yeah, but we have to be willing to encounter things and, you know, we have to be willing to feel and we have to be willing to be in the moment with what comes. Some people want to come to the path and they want to use it for a way to run away from things. Okay, a way to, I don't want this world, I want heaven. But first we have to stop running and we have to confront the difficult things in our lives to finally break through it so it no longer has an attachment. Okay, and that's what's difficult is finally coming to that point of stopping and really facing it and really seeing it for what it is and what it's not. Okay, so that's part of the path. You know, you can have something severe trauma and be reliving trauma and reliving and reliving and reliving, but finally you have to stop and really look at it. Okay, and once you really look at it, then you can start cutting the knots that hold it in place and can finally let go of it and just be in the moment with what is, and it's fine, whatever comes. Yeah. But it can be a point of, when we have something that's difficult in this life, it can be a point of entrance into doing the inquiry. Okay, into doing deeper soul searching. Okay, a point of questioning. Yeah, everyone wants to have only the blissful experiences, the fun experiences, you know. And when realization happens, doesn't mean that you're only going to have the fun and blissful experiences, you know. Still, sometimes, you know, you have that something will come up and there will be some pain or there will be something. But it's the difference is there's no longer an attachment or a great aversion to what comes. So it's momentary. You know, and it's part of life and it's part of the fragrance of it. It's part of the substance of it. So the point is we don't, this path is not about covering over or running away from the difficulties of life. It's being able to use the difficulties of life as a springboard into going deeper. To go deeper. To question. And it gives us a resolve to finally reach realization. Because we get tired of suffering. And when realization, when one goes through and implodes into realization, then there may be pain, there may be sorrow, there may be these things to come, but there is no suffering with it. Okay? That's the difference. When we're not in realization, then the mind just gravitates to something and it just keeps like a, you know, grating. And it just keeps going in circles. And we can't let go of it. With realization, it's an event and it's a second and that's it, it's over. You know, there's no mind left there to be grating, to be turning over and over and over the same thing. You know, before realization, it's like having a pebble in your shoe. It's just irritating, you know. It's like, and you can't get rid of it no matter what you do. Realization, it's like, okay, there might be a pebble there, but one second you know to take off the shoe, okay? It's gone. Okay. So there's no more of that mind in place that just keeps going over old events or wanting to run back to past, to the past things, because the fullness is now. Okay. So in all of these, the most beneficial thing I can say is just take the diksha and do the mantras and go through the journey and begin to question and cut through the knots so that you can have a flow instead of a stagnation at each level. Okay. So that's the end of the questions in the satsang bowl, unless anyone else has any more questions or topics. And if not, we will go ahead and take a quick break here and have some tea, and then we will reconvene for meditation. So thank you. Namaste.